listening to the Next Best Friction Podcast, and this is our review of A Quiet Place. Alright everyone, you were just listening to the trailer for A Quiet Place, and the story is as follows. A family is forced to live in silence while hiding from creatures that hunt by sound. The film is starring Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, Melishan Simmons, and Noah Jupe. It is written and directed by John Krasinski, and co-written by Scott Beck and Brian Woods. Joining for this review, I have Josh Williams.
What's going on, everybody?
I think we should do this review very quietly.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, tell everyone what you thought of the movie.
So, I think that A Quiet Place is a very excellent horror film. We seem to be in a kind of renaissance of horror films over the past, like, I don't know, decade, maybe.
Well, hold on a second, because I've heard that actually a couple of times. Why do you think that is?
It's just like, the past few years, they've been so much better than they've been since, like, the 80s, the 70s and 80s, you know? We're in a time where we're kind of getting quality horror films of that time period. So I don't really know why it is. Maybe it's just new storytellers stepping up to the plate and wanting to tell stories again, and these new stories, like A Quiet Place. I couldn't really tell you.
Could it be because horror films are zoning in a lot more on story and character as opposed to shock effect, gore, campy, you know, horror elements that were just designed to just be disturbing and scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're probably taking kind of some of the, like, the Logan and Dark Knight elements, like with the superhero films. They're kind of trying to, on top of being, they're trying to put the horror element second and, like, make it a drama film or a family film first.
Right, and I think with this film in particular, like A Quiet Place, I think you see that a lot more, where it's a very relatable story. It's a story about two parents who have to ultimately come to a very scary conclusion that they may not be able to protect their children.
Yeah.
Like, that is truly horrifying, and I'm sure it's every parent's worst nightmare. I'm not a parent, so...
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I can't, like, actually fully imagine what that must feel like, but it's something that I can understand, because we know that that is a very universal feeling that, you know, we as the human race all share to one degree or another. If not for your children, you know, maybe you can look at it from a point of view of just your family in general. Yeah. Like, I have two younger siblings. You know, I'd want to protect them as much as I possibly could, you know, in a post-apocalyptic scenario where we're being hunted down by these petrifying creatures. I know we're kind of jumping a little bit over the place here, but man, oh man, I don't know about you, Josh, but like before I saw this movie, I had no idea what the creatures were going to look like at all.
I was honestly kind of convinced before going in that we might not ever see the creatures.
Oh, you thought they were going to pull, like, a Village with us, basically?
Yeah, like, I thought the whole movie we wouldn't see anything.
Yeah. I was thinking that, too, for a little while. And, you know, in the beginning, we see brief glimpses, but then when we actually finally see what these creatures are, I was like, that is the shit that nightmares are made of. Yeah. Wow. I was like, that is a really, really, really well-done design, you know, for a very terrifying creature. But you started off saying, and before I rudely interjected, I apologize. You started off saying that this is an excellent horror film, and it's being seen right now during a time of renaissance for the horror genre as a whole. If you could continue to expand on those thoughts, I promise I will not interrupt.
I think horror films are kind of starting to come into a little bit more over the past, you know, several years. People have been going out to see horror films more and more, not only because we can get scared from them, but also because, like we said, they have that more human element to them, like they did in some past, you know, horror films that we renown as the greatest horror films of all time. So, but I think the film just is, it's really excellent. It nails I think some of the things that are crucial to making a horror film, which is A, the sound. Obviously, the film's called A Quiet Place. It revolves around sound and silence. So it nails that. But then the cinematography is really pretty to look at. A lot of the lighting situations are gorgeous. Some of the shots are really interesting, and some of the framing choices that they decide to use with dollies behind a staircase or down into some piping is really cool. And just, I would say that maybe there's a couple things that leave me a little sour, just in terms of, like, some of the performances are a little underwhelming at times, but then it immediately gets carried by another actor in the film, so there's really not a lot of room for error in the movie.
Who do you think is best in show here?
Personally, I think it's Malicient Simmons, and then immediately coming up in the runner-up is Emily Blunt.
Oh, see, I thought Emily Blunt walked away with this movie.
She's really good.
She could do anything. Yeah. Honestly. There's nothing that woman cannot do, as far as I'm concerned. She is just extraordinary.
Yeah.
Her husband, no.
I mean, it's Jim from The Office. Like,
you know, it's interesting because John Krasinski, the actor, John Krasinski, the writer, John Krasinski, the director. I have a lot of praise for John Krasinski, the director.
Me too.
Not as much praise for the writer or the actor in this film.
It's weird because he's been in other films where he is a very, and I think he's a very good actor, but there's just a couple things he does in this film that I'm not really a fan of. That a couple times, like when it came on screen, I almost laughed. Like I was like, you could have done another take there, buddy.
Yeah. His scream.
Yeah, that's particularly.
There's one point when he screams, and it was like, man, this is supposed to be like really emotional and really like affecting, and I'm laughing. That's not supposed to happen.
Right before that was like amazing. He's signing to Malicient Simmons, and that part is awesome.
Oh yeah, no, like all that's great. It's a mixed bag for sure. Just like how this movie for me, you know, it's interesting because when I got out of the film, my immediate gut reaction was, oh, man, that was freaking awesome. My audience loved it. Yeah. They were cheering and going nuts. They were really, really into the jump scares and the emotion of the story itself. But the more I thought about this movie, the more I'm just like, there are plot holes, there are character motivations that just don't make sense. Mm-hmm. There are some very cheesy and corny elements to it. Like for example, he tells Malicient Simmons, his daughter, you can't go in the basement, right? And he has, I guess, this whole command center where he's trying to crack, you know, how to defeat the monsters, and he's got all the security cameras and all the monitors and such. Mm-hmm. And he's got, like, this really, like, elementary whiteboard of, like, what kills them. And it's, like, is sound the enemy? And, like, I don't know. It's, like, really, really pedestrian to the point where, it didn't make sense to me why she couldn't go into that basement.
I never got that either. I was like,
no. And B, it just, like, there are little things like that in the movie where I'm just, like, okay, this is John Krasinski's third film, and this is definitely his most ambitious, and there are certain elements that work really, really well.
Yeah.
chief among them is the sound design of the film itself. The level to which the sound effects have an impact, great or small, every single piece of sound you hear in this movie matters.
Yeah.
But then there was like this other weird thing going on too with the sound where, okay, so you're trying to tell me the creatures will hear, they don't hear running, I guess, but they could hear you if you actually talk in a normal volume as opposed to a whisper. It seemed to me like the rules were a little, you know, sketchy in terms of what can these creatures actually hear? You know what I mean?
I was surprised that they actually used this concept. I didn't think it actually in turn made the movie a little bit more interesting to me, just because I knew when it first comes up, you would see it again. When Krasinski takes his son to the river and they're making noise and the son gets really scared, like, oh no, you have to be quiet, the monsters are going to hear you. And he tells him, if there's a sound nearby that's louder, you can make a softer sound so that they won't hear you. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then we see that paid off later with the fireworks, which I was like, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, no, there are some smart elements to the movie. Definitely. There are some things that are introduced early on that come back later into the story and kind of, you know, pull everything together and make it come, you know, together full circle. So, like I said, I would say there's more good than bad in this, but if you definitely think about it hard enough, there's a lot of bad in this.
Yeah, I saw it twice, and so the second time around, I definitely started noticing, like, some of the stuff I didn't really care for, like the giant elementary school whiteboard and some of the newspapers that are hanging up, and I was just like, you know, we get it. I don't need to be hit over the head with the information, man.
But then there's other things too, like, you're trying to tell me that these monsters were able to wipe out our military, and we were because the thing. I mean, I know I'm kind of maybe getting a little into spoilers here, but the monsters are shown that it is shown that the monsters can be killed.
Yeah.
So you're trying to tell me that with all of the firepower that America has, we could not take these guys out? Like, I was baffled by that. Now, they wisely did not make the movie a lone survivor type, like, story where this is the only surviving family. There are other people that are surviving within this world, and that is demonstrated when Krasinski goes to the top of his tower and he lights the fire and he sees other fires in the distance. So I guess that's showing us that, okay, that's like their way of, I guess, checking in to see who's still alive and who's not, that sort of thing. I immediately had trouble buying into the world, so to speak, just because of that one little thing. But okay, I'll suspend my disbelief. All right, I'll accept the fact that, you know, half of humanity or whatever has been wiped out by these stronger, faster, deadly creatures, and that we weren't able to just shoot rockets and bullets at them and destroy them, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, but then you're going to have the biggest issue of all in this movie. Like, this really, Josh, I mean, like, this pushed me. I mean, this so was ready. A lot. I can handle Millicent Simmons. I can handle her character being, and I'm going to say this word, and I hate using this word, but I'm going to say it, dumb. Absolutely dumb. Selfish, self-centered, like, doesn't think big picture, is only thinking about her emotions and how upset she is at her father and stuff. And I'm like, you are dumb with the decisions that you are making right now. You are going to get yourself or someone else killed. You are dumb. Okay. Brushing that aside. An even bigger problem, and I know you know where I'm going with this. Why the fuck would you choose to have a baby under these conditions? The baby cries. Babies keep parents up all night, and you're living in a world where if you make a sound, these monsters will kill you. I don't give a shit if you've thought everything through. I don't give a shit if they have this whole thing where they're like, oh, we're going to just put the baby inside of a box, and when it starts crying, we'll just shut the lid on it. No! That is so corny and cheesy and stupid. Like,
I will say, I was really confused when they first show the oxygen tank. Because when they showed it and they show Emily Blunt, like, setting it up, I was like, why are they doing that? What is that for? And then when it pays off later, I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, they're going to try to knock this baby out. You know what I mean? What? They're going to yeah. just make the baby go to sleep and then it'll stop crying. I was like, this is so stupid.
One thing that it totally just like a nitpick that I noticed watching the movie is when Krasinski is carrying Emily Blunt and she's holding the baby, he's carrying them to like their underground bunker or whatever. When the baby starts crying, he like walks a little faster. And then when he steps onto to go underground, he holds Emily Blunt and the baby in one hand and like pulls the mattress over them. And I was like, Jesus, man, you have to be so strong to do that.
Well, have you seen John Krasinski? That man looks like he hits the gym.
He's huge.
Yeah. There's a reason why Emily Blunt married him. No, I'm
kidding. I was like, that's insane.
The movie itself, though, okay, so like I've literally now at this point, I've gotten my criticisms out of the way. Good things about the movie. Okay, the first 40 minutes of this movie, there really is not a line of normally spoken dialogue in the movie. There were long, long stretches mm-hmm. throughout the movie where there is nothing but sound and there is no dialogue and it's all visual storytelling. Yeah. And I think this is where I was saying before, Krasinski, the director, shines the most because I think his command of tension and how he builds up certain dramatic moments is very carefully constructed, very precise, and created for a very engaging viewing experience, I would say.
Easily. I think it's just one thing what you're saying about, one thing that intrigued me about, or that I enjoyed, is just when they know they can't speak, but if you like listen closely enough, you can hear them kind of very, very quietly whispering what they're signing also. And so that was an interesting factor to me. But I think, yeah, you're definitely correct. The tension almost becomes like physical. Mm-hmm. Like Krasinski creates some anxiety and some tension that almost like stands on your shoulders, that you're just sitting there like biting your, you know, your coat or your fingernails, and you're just waiting for something to happen because you know that nobody can be silent forever, you know.
No, I'd be dead in this world immediately. I would not survive.
It's insane. But they just, he's so good at taking these moments of just like the smallest sounds and making them feel like the biggest thing on the planet. So when kids are playing, you know, they're playing a board game and they knock over a lamp, you know, that feels huge, even though in reality, knocking over a lantern probably isn't that loud. But man, since it's been silent for probably a straight 10, 15 minutes, it sounds like a gunshot. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I would say that the sound work in this movie is worthy of awards consideration if the Academy is able to remember it come year's end. Sound mixing especially, I would say. I definitely think that this deserves a spot in there somewhere. One aspect of the movie that I'm not hearing get talked about enough, I feel like, is Marco Beltrami's score, too, which is probably my favorite score of the year at this mm-hmm. point, I would say. I mean, I was really, really taken aback by you know, the tone that the music set for the film, and also it really helped to lend to the emotion of the movie, so much so that I was able to really care about this family, the tragedy that befalls them. And I started to really get the sense while watching the film that, man, they're like, each character is going to just get picked off one at a time, probably. And we're going to end up like in a, you know, sole survivor situation. At some point, it's just going to be the baby, just the baby. The baby's going to be the only survivor. They never find the baby. No, but and the film actually doesn't go there. But the music had a way of leading me to believe that, you know, based on how emotional it was and the tone that Krasinski was going for with it, that we were in for something that was really trying to gut us, not necessarily scare us, but gut us.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's meant to be this. I agree. I haven't seen enough talk about the score, and the score is really fantastic, but just there hasn't been enough talk about how just about everything, including the score, leads to the bigger emotional picture. And I kind of had the same feeling you did. I was ready as the score was playing, you know, a little bit in the beginning, and kind of as they're setting everything up, that we were going to get kind of this, you know, little situation where everybody gets scattered and then everybody mm-hmm. just gets picked off one by one because they make a mistake.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you can feel the stakes throughout because the stakes feel extraordinarily real.
Yeah.
For as much as I give the film a little bit of criticism here and there, I do think Krasinski sets up the world well enough that you really, really do buy into what is going on, every decision that is made, every movement, every word, every sound. Anything that has to do with sound, you're just hanging on the edge of every, not word, but in some cases, yes, but every sound. Yeah. I was on the edge of my seat throughout the entire film watching this. I mean, the tension was definitely a real thing. And I thought the film had a very perfect length for that, too. I didn't think it overstayed its welcome. I thought the pacing of the movie was perfect. I never once felt a drag. So I was definitely very much in it the entire time, despite some reservations that I had. And that's very interesting, too, because I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking with a friend of mine, and he said to me, you know, it's kind of amazing that this film has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, considering how much there is actually wrong with the movie itself. But most people, despite the flaws that they point out, still come out positive about it in the end anyway. And no, I think that is what's contributing towards such a high score on Rotten Tomatoes, is that, yeah, there are some things to nitpick. Yeah, the fucking baby. God. but it's not enough for me to give it a negative review. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. It's all very, like, all of the, most of the criticisms that I have, at least, are just more, like, nitpicking things. Like, I'm just kind of pointing out the smallest of details, but everything that I like about the movie is about the grander picture of the film, so I left positive both times.
Yeah, I mean, like, this to me is not, in my opinion, one of the best films of the year, but it's definitely something that has helped to at least tide me over, you know, during this slow season post-Oscar right now, and was entertaining, and it was a good time. Let's move over to final thoughts. Grade out of 10, Oscar potential. Josh, anything you want to talk about that we didn't get a chance to touch upon? Any other final thoughts?
The final thought that I didn't get to mention that I really enjoy is I didn't notice it, or I noticed it, but in the beginning of the film, when the shot is on, whenever a shot is on Malicia Simmons, there is no room tone audio.
Oh yeah, I love that.
It's just dead air. But then when it cuts back to somebody else, there's room tone. And so at first I thought that was like a mistake. I was like, did they just forget to put room tone over Malicia Simmons' like shot? And then when I realized that her character, because her character is deaf in the movie, I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Like, so
and
I
for
really
the record, you know that
use.
You know that the actress herself is deaf, right?
Yeah, so that's why I'm massive fan of that decision.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, and she also played a deaf character last year as well in Wonderstruck, and she was a breakout performer in that.
She's going places.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I let me tell you, you know, I hope that there is a way to continue to keep using her, because I feel that with both Wonderstruck and now A Quiet Place, she is a great talent.
No, she is definitely.
She can convey so much through her face. She's the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely is. But, I mean, final thought, that was the last final thought I want to say. But the use of building the silence to one big noise or multiple big sounds is just a brilliant mix use of it to me, and a brilliant approach at filmmaking to make a horror film. I think Malicia Simmons and Emily Blunt are brilliant in the film. They both convey a lot of emotion simply through their face and their body language. Krasinski's direction is very, very strong. He definitely knows what he's doing. And apparently in an interview, he said that he doesn't like horror movies. Like, they scare him. He doesn't like to watch them. But when everybody had the idea to make the movie, he couldn't, you know, he wanted to do it because of what he thought he could do, and I think he just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, and I mean, the decision too for him to work with his actual wife, Emily Blunt, mm-hmm. you know, helps to also, I think, for him as both an actor, writer, and director, reinforce that theme that we were talking about protecting your own family. You know, this married couple, playing a married couple, they're able to then feel those performances through a lot more. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so a couple of our final thoughts I do want to touch upon here is, did you feel at all by the time we got to, like, the final couple of minutes of the movie that you kind of got this feeling of, like, oh, come on, you know, like, just, like, stop tormenting these people, Jesus, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
Like, I was literally like, when is this going to end, you know? And yeah. I started to think that we were heading towards a really, really tragic ending. Because the film itself opens up with a brilliant opening sequence. I mean, that was a really, really phenomenal opening. I mean, when the title of the movie came up, you know, say in A Quiet Place, I was like, whoa, yeah. Okay. I'm like, that set the stage very, very well.
That's how you get people in.
And then, of course, it also gives us, you know, the beginning of the connection between Alicia Simmons and John Krasinski's characters throughout the movie, all because of a fatal mistake that she makes in the opening. I thought it was all really, really well done, and I really thought that that emotion helped to carry the film through. So much so that I am willing to overlook some of the criticisms that I have thrown at it. Because in the end, like I said, I think Krasinski did not make a horror film because, like you said, he doesn't actually like horror films. He wanted to tell a different kind of story, one that was universal and something that we could all relate to. And I actually appreciate that so much more.
Yeah, definitely.
So, man, what else do I have to say? I mean, do I have any other thoughts other than that? I feel like I've touched upon pretty much everything I wanted to say. So with that said then, Josh, what grade would you give A Quiet Place?
Originally, the first viewing, I had walked out thinking it was an 8 out of 10.
That's what I thought too at first, yeah.
Yeah, now that I've kind of sat on it a little more, I think I'm going to go 7.
Yep, I am exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I thought about 6. When I started thinking about the issues a little bit more, but then I was like, you know what? You walked out of the film and you were so elated and you had that visceral instant reaction of, my God, I loved that, you know?
Yeah.
So overall, it's not like you can't go from an 8 down to like a 5 or something like that. That's just ridiculous, you know? Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of outside influence. You know, when you start reading articles online about why people don't like the movie or why the film has problems, you start to say to yourself, yeah. Are you letting other people's opinions influence your own? And the answer is no. You know what? These are criticisms that I had, but in the end, I'd recommend people to go see this movie.
I definitely would as well.
I definitely have. I've already told people. I'm like, yo, you got to go see this movie. It's freaking awesome, you know?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
7 out of 10. Do you think that the film can sustain its momentum all the way till the Oscars to contend in either one of the sound categories?
I would like to think so. That just being optimistic, I would like to think that it ends up getting both mixing and editing. But if it doesn't, then I won't be upset just because, you know, the early release and it being a horror film, you know, it's got everything against it. And as we've seen recently, of course, genre bias just overcome everything. But it would be awesome, I think, if it made it all the way through. I like to think that in come next year, we will see it at least get sound mixing. I think it'll hold strong.
Oh, okay. I don't think so, because I actually went back and I looked at the Academy's history of nominating horror films in sound. Mm-hmm. It's not good. it is not good. I mean, like Poltergeist, The Exorcist, like that's it. You know, it's like it is not good. So with that said, I don't think it can. I mean, it kind of boggled my mind when Get Out didn't even get sound editing last year a little bit, but...
Yeah.
Here we are, you know, and in this day and age, you know, anything can happen. I mean, Get Out did go on to get a Best Picture nomination. And I'm not saying A Quiet Place is going to do that, but, you know, it is interesting sometimes where there are certain movies that are like clear cut, far and away the best at a certain area. Yeah. Like, if you ask me, Mother had the best sound of any movie last year. By far.
Oh, definitely.
Like, that sound mixing was absolutely incredible. Never going to get an Oscar nomination. No. Never going to happen. I feel like A Quiet Place could be that kind of a movie where I feel that the sound work is awards worthy. It probably will show up in my personal lineup by the end of the year, but... Mm-hmm. I don't expect people to have such good memories, you know, come the end of the year. So, especially when there's other contenders that are going to be released and will, you know, vie for that position. So,
yeah.
Josh, tell everyone where they can find you on the internet.
You can find me on Twitter at Josh_Williams09.
And you can find me at Next Best Picture. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. You can follow us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and on CastBox. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you think of the show. We really, really appreciate your feedback. We will see you all next time.